following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
It is a Tuesday, and depending on what countdown clock you're looking at, it's either 8 days until Joe Biden's inauguration, meaning the end of Donald Trump in the White House anyway, or the way I prefer to look at it is the countdown clocks that I've got at NicoleSandler.com. There's one on the Listen Live page. There's one on the main homepage. But basically, I'm counting down until 12:03 p.m. 1 week from tomorrow, because that's what time Joe Biden will take the oath and it's done. And for that, we have 17 days, 19 hours, 4 minutes and 51 seconds. So I know it's officially like 8 days, but it's 7 days, 19 hours, 4 minutes, 44 seconds, because there are some of us who are counting the seconds until this. There are no words strong enough. And, you know, I like to use words, strong words, but there are no strong words, words strong enough to describe the piece of shit that is Donald Trump. Maybe one day we need to just open up the phones for your best descriptors of Trump. We did that sort of near the beginning of this term. One day when Britt Summers was here, and we started reeling off some nicknames like Twitler and the Orange Menace and Cheetolini and things like that. And you guys were prolific. We had a whole long list of them. You know, fuckhead, shitface, asshole, you know, things like that, because it helps. Dump. I never caught on. That was my thing right after he got elected. Remember, I was saying, well, you know, the name is Donald Trump. Who wants to waste all those syllables? So do the contraction thing. D apostrophe U-M-P, right? I thought it was going to just take off, and it never did. And here we are just about 4 years later. And it's fine. I'm good with never saying dump again, with never thinking of him, never hearing his voice. 7 days. Wait, I'll pull it up. 7 days, 19 hours, 3 minutes, and 7 seconds. And now it's 5, 4, 3, 2. I could do this all day, but I won't, because it's not really exciting radio. Anyway, shit is real. There was, you know, here we are, what, 6 days removed from the siege on the Capitol, the coup attempt by Trump's rabid cult followers to storm the Capitol. For what purpose? I mean, that's what I don't understand. And again, I listened to his incendiary words at that Stop the Steal rally in D.C. that kicked off the march to the Capitol building when they went and, you know, were looking to murder Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence. Really fine people on all sides. Yeah. Special. They're special people. And Donald Trump loves them. Yeah. So today, I mean, we've been waiting. There has not been an official press conference. There's been nothing. No word from the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, nothing. No official statement on the fact that the Capitol, U.S. Capitol, was breached. That 5 people were killed in the process, including one Capitol police officer who was beaten to death. Oh, and by the way, I got to say, yesterday I told you the story about the guy who we heard had who died of a heart attack after tasing himself in the balls. And it was during the show, somebody messaged me, and I'm sorry that I don't acknowledge it. Sometimes, I mean, I'm in here alone. I'm producer, host, engineer, chief cook, and bottle washer. And so, you know, and webmaster, and I do try to sometimes follow along in the chats when I'm on the air, but there's only, you know, I miss some things. And somebody did message me during the show and say, No, Snopes debunked that claim. The claim that the guy tased himself in the balls. Now, there's a bit of controversy about that because Snopes did say not true. They rated that story false. But there are people pushing back on it and saying it's absolutely true. How did Snopes debunk it? Well, they asked his wife, who is now his widow, did your husband really tase himself in the balls, causing his heart attack? What's she going to say? Yes, he was a dumbass. So she said no. And I like this one. Nate responded to my tweet, said more like he couldn't tase himself in the balls. He had none. Oh, wait a minute. That calls for a...
himself in the balls.
Oops. Yeah, sorry. I got to turn myself down. I will say the story's too good to say it's not true. And we debunk Snopes' debunction of the story. So I hold fast and true that the guy tased himself in the balls, causing his own heart attack. All right. So that happened. But I digress. See, I'd rather talk about shit like that than what's going on in this country, because frankly, it's frightening. It's terrifying when you think about what happened and what we've learned going forward. Oh, my God. So there was finally a briefing today. We heard we were going to get an official government briefing on what happened last Wednesday. It'll be a week tomorrow. But it was supposed to be the Justice Department and the FBI. So I figured we're going to see Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and this guy, Jeffrey Rosen, who is the acting attorney general since Billy Barr ran away with the sail between his legs. So, we got neither one of them. There was acting U.S. attorney in D.C. What's his name? I have it written down here somewhere. Now I can't find it. Michael Sherwin. His name is Michael Sherwin. Who? I don't know. But he was leading it. And then there was like a guy from the FBI. It wasn't Chris Wray. I don't know who he was. But if you're curious about what they said, so am I. Yeah, no, not really. But here, let me share a little bit with you. All right. So here is Michael Sherwood, acting U.S. attorney for the D.C. region, I guess. There's nobody who's been confirmed by the Senate still in the government. I suppose they're all Trump cronies. So I kind of worry. But anyway, here's a little bit of what Michael Sherwin had to say. I think. Come on. Uh-oh. Why don't you want to play, Michael? Oh, here we go. That's why.
The initial charges we're filing, some of these misdemeanors, these are only the beginning. This is not the end. So what are we looking at downstream here? So in terms of what we're looking at is the initial charges everyone's familiar with, the zip tie guys, the Munchels, and the Brocks that were arrested on the House floor with zip ties rifling through the House floor. People are familiar with online. They see the Barnetts and Johnsons who were literally rifling through Pelosi's office and stealing materials, mail, and sometimes even personal mementos. So those are the cases the public's familiar with. They're familiar with those cases because of social media. But what the public isn't familiar with is that the FBI, working with the U.S. Attorney's offices across the country, and the crux of those being in D.C., we're looking at significant felony cases tied to sedition and conspiracy. Ooh. Just yesterday, our office organized a strike force of very senior national security prosecutors and public corruption prosecutors. Their only marching orders from me are to build seditious and conspiracy charges related to the most heinous acts that occurred in the Capitol. And
right.
These are significant charges that have felonies with prison terms of up to 20 years. In addition to that, we're looking and taking a priority with cases in which weapons were involved and cases in which destructive devices were involved. As people know through news reports, there were pipe bombs found outside the Capitol. The ATF is working on that. Metro Police is working on that.
As FBI they should.
FBI is working on that to find that individual or individual individuals who planted those devices. So in addition to just those rogue cases we're looking at, we're going to focus on the most significant charges as a deterrent, because regardless of if it was just a trespass in the Capitol or if someone planted a pipe bomb, you will be charged and you will be found. In addition to that, we've also focused on an emphasis on assaults and batteries on police officers, both federal officers and local MPD officers that were assaulted.
As you should, but... Did I hear? Maybe I just missed it because I, you know, I'm scattered. But where was the? We're going to focus on members of law enforcement, of police forces, fire departments, public works employees around the nation who joined in with this sedition, because there were a number of them, and we're hearing that police departments around the country are looking to see who of their ranks travel to D.C. for this nonsense. And I call it nonsense, but it's not, you know, it's a whole lot more serious than nonsense. Just like an hour ago, the Joint Chiefs of Staff issued a military-wide memo condemning the riot and confirming that Joe Biden will become the next commander-in-chief. In fact, the image that I have a bit is blurry, but I will share it with you because it is that important, because we are at that place in this nation's history where shit's real. You know, this is scary times. Anyway, so it was written by Mike Milley and signed by all the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And it says, "The American people have trusted the armed forces of the United States to protect them and the Constitution for almost 250 years. As we have done throughout our history, the U.S. military will obey lawful orders, excuse me, from civilian leadership, support civil authorities to protect lives and property, ensure public safety in accordance with the law, and remain fully committed to protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic." Yes, that those words are very comforting. The violent riot in Washington, D.C. Oh, my God. It's making me choke. The violent riot in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, 2021 was a direct assault on the U.S. Congress, the Capitol building, and our constitutional process. We mourn the deaths of the two Capitol policemen and others connected to these unprecedented events. The second policeman committed suicide. Don't know any of the specifics other than it was a Capitol police officer who was there on Wednesday and went home and killed himself. I wonder what he either did or saw or experienced that made him do that. But you got to know it's all related. "We witnessed actions inside the Capitol building that were inconsistent with the rule of law. The rights of freedom of speech and assembly do not give anyone the right to resort to violence, sedition, and insurrection. As service members, we must embody the values and ideals of the nation. We support and defend the Constitution. Any act to disrupt the constitutional process is not only against our traditions, values, and oath, it's against the law. On January 20th, 2021, in accordance with the Constitution, confirmed by the states and the courts and certified by Congress, President-elect Biden will be inaugurated and will become our 46th Commander-in-Chief. To our men and women deployed and at home, safeguarding our country, stay ready. Keep your eyes on the horizon and remain focused on the mission. We honor your continued service in defense of every American." And it's signed by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And they issued that military-wide within the last hour. I'm glad they did that because it's really important. And I think a lot of people who are not directly in the White House are trying to reassure the American people that we are going to be okay. So we had the FBI press conference, though without Chris Wray and Jeffrey Rosen, whatever that means, I don't know. And then we had the Joint Chiefs of Staff military-wide memo condemning what happened on Wednesday. And then you have Donald Trump, who is in Alamo, Texas, for some reason I can't figure out, standing in front of a section of his bullshit wall that he spent all our taxpayer dollars on, for some reason. And he's there, and I'm not going to play you anything he said. No, I'm not. Instead, let me play you a few other words of warning. Christopher Krebs, remember him? He was the guy who Trump fired, who worked at the agency within the government that was actually created by the Trump administration to safeguard us and our elections against foreign interference in the cyber world. Chris Krebs said this was the most secure election in recent memory, that there was no fraud. So Trump fired him. Right. Yeah, because that's what you do. It's like you sweep something under the rug and it goes away. Yeah, fire the guy who said it was safe because you disagree with him based on nothing. Here's Christopher Krebs explaining what this moment was akin to.
Do you see this as the beginning of some larger conflict, or is this the end of a potential conflict?
Anderson, this is the equivalent of ignoring that pain in your chest for a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden you have a catastrophic heart attack. We're on the verge of what I fear to be a pretty significant breakdown in democracy and civil society here.
Oh, lovely. I mean, it goes on, but you get the gist. That's really all you need to hear, right? Yeah. And it's scary, the stuff we're learning. And by the way, that FBI bulletin that I told you about yesterday that talked about what's planned for the coming week between now and the inauguration, armed attacks on every one of the 50 state capitals, plus the inauguration, plus whatever's planned on the 17th and the 20th. I mean, all this stuff is in the works. That was an internal bulletin. That was not supposed to be released to the public. To whomever released it, thank you. Because we deserve to know what's happening. Right? And then yesterday, it happened during the show, we learned that... what's his name? The Chad Wolf, the acting Homeland Security secretary, resigned. We're in the middle of the most turbulent time in probably, almost 200 years in the United States. And I get that he's acting, and I get that there are forces saying, you weren't confirmed by the Senate. You've overstayed your welcome. You're not legitimately there. But there's a week left and we're faced with a major security issue that really is going to require all hands on deck. And what does he do? He quits. He quits. He says because of recent events, not alluding to the riot, but the fact that the quote, ongoing and meritless court rulings regarding the validity of my authority as acting secretary. No, let me make this clear, perfectly clear. Chad Wolf, you are chicken shit. You know you're in way above your head. There's no way that you are capable of coordinating a response to what is being planned against this nation over the coming week. And so you're running away with your tail between your legs. Typical and frankly expected. But, you know, yes, you deserve all the criticism coming your way. Chicken shit, piece of crap. So he quits, just as this internal FBI bulletin is warning that armed protests are planned in all 50 states and D.C. in the days from now leading up to January 20th. But here's the good news. By all accounts, the guy who's going to be replacing him, well, at least temporarily, is the FEMA administrator, a guy named Pete Gaynor, who I understand is a hell of a lot more experienced and better suited to handle the challenges posed, given the threat, than Chad Wolf. So Chad Wolf, go, be gone, never to be heard from again. Also, one other thing before we move on is that remember how they were saying the reason that they were so unprepared for this violent mass of, well, less than humanity, subhumanity that invaded the Capitol on Wednesday is because they were prepared for a peaceful protest. They didn't know. They didn't expect this. Well, that is
bullshit.
According to a report from HuffPost, Capitol Police warned House Democrats. Oh, that's a different one. Sorry. They were told to expect a war, that it was war coming. This was a different briefing that last night. Capitol Police warned House Democrats last night that there are three potentially violent demonstrations planned ahead of the inauguration, including one plot to surround the Capitol and assassinate House Democrats. This is the United States of America. That's not supposed to be happening, right? Lawmakers were reportedly told that the demonstrators plan to encircle the Capitol to block Democrats and non-Trumpist Republicans from entering the building. They'd allow the people loyal to Trump to enter and control the government, but everyone else, they were not going to be allowed in. And they were told on the call that the plot, quote, could involve assassinations. It's just inconceivable. But this is where we are right now. So, yes, I call this Terrifying Tuesday because it is. But there are a few things that we need to, you know, keep our eye on the prize. So something happened this weekend. Maybe it wasn't this week. I don't know when this happened. It was an interview. Bernie Sanders was on CNN with Anderson Cooper. And he was, you know, talking about all the shit that's going on, but also, you know, alluding to the fact that things will, in at least some facets of our lives, get a little better. And we learned that Bernie Sanders will be the incoming, or is the incoming, budget and finance chairman, right? Yeah. And so there's a guy named Jonathan Mann, who is another one of these creative people on the YouTubes making songs. And he does a song a day. And he took Bernie's statement and set it to music. So here is our song for today. Get ready to sing along, because this one's really, really good. All right, you ready? All right, take it away, Jonathan Mann and Bernie Sanders. You really will. You are going to tap your toes and sing along. Here we go.
Very clear. As the incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. Incoming chairman,
Senate Budget Committee.
Incoming chairman,
Senate Budget Committee.
Incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. I remember what happened in 2010. The Democrats controlled the Senate, controlled the White House, controlled the House. Remember that? They had the power. Democrats got wiped out. They did not deliver for the American people. So what we've got to do right now, no ifs, buts, or maybes, is have an aggressive agenda that says we understand. We have to act and act now. They had the power. It's the Democrats, incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. 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 People can't pay their medical bills. People are going deeper into debt. People are facing addiction. Millions of people have lost their jobs. We know you're in pain. We have to act and act now. We have got to be bold. They had the power. It's the Democrats. Incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee.
Incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee.
He's the incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee.
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 Nicole Sandler's show is 100% listener-supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, all right. Every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh to, talk about the news. And we raid Laffy's Twitter stream for that because it's quite prolific. So first we got to get her on the line. So let's do this. Hello.
Oh, yes. You've reached the Trump's banned from social media hotline.
Okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump tried to use Giuliani's Facebook account, but Rudy doesn't have any friends. Press 2 if you think Kim Jong-un, who isn't banned from Twitter, just tweeted, "I'm no longer the craziest leader, LOL."
Well, that's true.
Press 3 if you think now that Trump can't tweet, he just stares at his toilet and says, "What's this thing for?"
He could make like Elvis and, expire sitting on it. just a fantasy. Just a thought. He's the incoming chair, Senate Budget Committee.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's so good.
Kind of an earworm.
Oh, yes. It will stick with you. And who would have ever thought you'd be going around singing about Bernie Sanders? He's the incoming chair, Senate Budget Committee.
I know. I'm so thrilled about that. Oh, my goodness.
Well, and so is Jonathan Mann, who made a little song of it.
Yeah. That's
good for him.
Celebration time. It's nice to celebrate something once in a long, long time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, look, we got to take those small silver linings. You know, it's what I talk about. Pardon the little mini commercial here, but my painting, it's like we discover things. First, it was my wonderful vegan cooking, which I'm still, for the most part, doing. We've healthied up our food intake around here, and I've become quite the chef. But then I started painting in October, and I'm first of all, loving it because it's very meditative for me. It calms my mind, which is kind of freaked out at the moment. And I'm finding out that I'm too. So, can I show you my latest?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So these are my latest two, and I think it's kind of a theme. And for those of you just listening to the audio stream, maybe on Progressive Voices or Air Progressive or Verdant Square Radio or Netroots Radio, however you're listening, I will post them on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. Anyway, this one is what I call Dog Woman Beach. And are you watching? Can you see?
I'm watching not only YouTube, but I'm watching you in my little Skype.
I know
thing.
You see me. Laffy is audio only for a couple more weeks. So you won't see it on the Skype thing. But if you're watching on YouTube there, you should see the picture now. There's a little bit of
no,
delay.
It takes so, like 7 seconds.
Not there yet. Oy, oy, oy. Right. Okay. So this is
keep holding it.
Here it is. There it is. Now I'm seeing. Are you seeing it yet?
Yep, we go.
Okay.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
Doggy.
So I made that, did the landscape picture. I did the ocean with the sand dunes. And then I'm like, it's missing something. It was missing the woman and the dog.
Oh.
And then I decided that I would go back a few years. And this is Dog Girl Beach. And I think it's the same woman as the little girl with her dog on the beach. And she's much smaller than the dog. Now you got to wait for it to catch up.
La, 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 la.
So let me, in the meantime, just say that.
I'm sorry, I was doing an interview.
I know. Another way to support the program, should you care to, if you like any of the paintings, is I give them away as premiums for people who donate. There it is. It should be showing up any second now. So if you like any of these paintings, and I've got a bunch of them posted, and I need to post more at NicoleSandler.com/pandemic-painting, you know, make a donation of $25 or more to the program, and I'll send you one of my original paintings. And I don't do the, you know, the I'm going to give you a print. I give you the original. So
that's right.
Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there to say it's another way to support the show. I like that one too. I know, I really do. It's sweet, isn't it?
Very sweet. Mm.
So anyway, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. You can email me. I'll paint you something custom because it's what I'm doing. I don't leave the house. So
well, nobody does. Well, right. Yeah, some people do.
So
we
anyway,
don't.
It's a way, should you care to donate, but you want something more in return than just these fabulous shows I put on every day. Well, yeah. I'm happy to pay. And I'll paint your pet. Yeah, I do pet portraits.
Paint your
too.
Pet.
Okay. So now that the commercial's done, you saw my artwork. Yeah. So let's you know,
let's
I'd rather talk about
the tweeties because we got tons.
Okay. The thing is, I'd rather
more
talk about almost anything than what's going on, but we need to talk about what's going on. So, all right. Let loose the birdies!
Welcome to my tweet.
Okay, so what are the Twitters tweeting about now?
Oh, you just can't even imagine.
Oh, God, no. Of course not. I have no idea.
You know, here's one that popped right before we came on. Senator Mitch McConnell is said to believe Trump committed impeachable offenses.
Oh, really?
And is pleased that Democrats are moving to impeach him. McConnell indicated he wants to see specific articles. Well, let me get to, wait, I shorted it. Let me get the actual
yes.
article. I hate when I do my Twitter shortened version because I'm reading like without nouns and verbs and
right,
things.
Right, right, right.
He has told associates that he believes, this is from New York Times, that he believes Trump committed impeachable offenses, that he's pleased that Democrats are moving to impeach him, believing that it will make it easier to purge him from the party. Basically, he's pissed that he lost them, the Senate.
Well, of course he is. But this is just that, you know, that this is so typical and hypocritical of him at the same time, because he could easily bring the Senate back into session right now to deal with this. But he's saying, no, they won't be back until January 19th. And the only way to get them back sooner than that is by unanimous consent. Again,
that's why I started my tweet with, in all caps, then do something.
Right. So he could do something. He could call them back. It doesn't have to be unanimous consent. The Senate Majority Leader, which he still is until Inauguration Day and Kamala Harris is the vice president, can do that. He can call them back. But he's throwing up roadblocks again. He wants to have it both ways. And I'm sorry, Turtle Man, you can't.
Well, Marcy, Empty Wheel, tweeted something like, this will have the Dems allow the Republicans to get some credit for impeaching him or something to that effect. I don't care. I want him out.
Yeah.
I don't want him out in the easiest way. I want him to pay. I don't want him to get benefits. I want whatever comes with impeachment.
Yeah, so do I. I want him thrown out. I want them to bar him from ever holding office again, which is a separate vote to be taken after and only after the Senate convicts him. And there's no reason they shouldn't, except these people are all chicken shit. They're like Chad Wolf. Oh my God, there's danger coming. My job is to prevent the danger. I better quit.
Confirming the New York Times, Josh Dossie tweets, McConnell has told others that Trump probably committed impeachable offenses, but wants to hear the case before making a final decision. Would not whip the votes for or against impeachment. Hasn't talked to Trump since December 14th.
Well, but they did yesterday. You know. They spoke yesterday.
Yeah.
Didn't
Puppy
they?
Cock. I don't know what they're talking about. Anyway. Oh, God. Here's more now. Okay, on the on the FBI or whatever that was.
Yeah,
that briefing.
Yeah.
So the recap so far as of when I was taking notes was, you're making me dizzy. I'm
sorry. Sorry. The angle was just so weird that.
FBI briefs on Capitol. I'm quoting from NBC. Mm-hmm. Capitol riots opened 160 case files, quote, that's just the tip of the iceberg, unquote, received 100,000 pieces of digital media from the public, quote, even if you left D.C., agents from our local field offices will be knocking at your door.
Yeah.
And then I've got a couple of things on this.
Oh, yeah.
Then Scott McFarland said, he's NBC, FBI and Justice Department were not asked whether investigation is underway into Trump or White House into incitement of insurrection. They cut off the questions before a bunch of reporters were set to ask that. So they never got to cover that. And I had people coming at me. I said, damn, or something. And they said, no, because maybe it's too early and they don't, you know. But they should be allowed to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Let the FBI and the Justice Department say, no, we can't answer that. We'd like to hold back.
Right. Yeah.
Let them ask the questions.
Yep.
Okay, then George Conway. Okay, first, David Loffman says he's an investigations and compliance counseling, former chief of Justice Department counterintelligence section. He said highest ranking DOJ official for this pressure is the DC U.S. attorney. This is just bizarre. And then
right,
George
that's
Conway
what I said. It's insane. And he's an acting attorney, isn't he?
George Conway said acting U.S. attorney,
right.
No less, a testament to the shambles in which Trump has left the government. So, yes, exactly what you're saying, exactly what he's saying. And then Joe Lockhart said the DOJ is sending the message by who is not at this briefing that what happened last week was no big deal. This is really this really is outrageous. So people had all different. Oh, and then Empty Wheel said, lots of people are talking about Jeffrey Rosen and Chris Wray hiding under the bed. That's true. I'm far more concerned about David Bowditch because he was involved in some of the more politicized acts of the Trump DOJ. Rosen was too, but Bowditch has his job because he was willing to.
Oh, my God.
So that was a really insightful take.
Right. First of all, it shouldn't have taken them 6 days to talk to the press, to give a briefing to the American people on what the fuck happened last Wednesday. And then when it came time that they're actually going to do it, they put on the acting U.S. attorney for D.C. and, I don't know, a lower level guy at the FBI.
It's
really
a comment on in itself.
Yeah.
It's a comment on here's well, I mean, according is this, and I agree with Marcy, or whoever it was, I guess it was George Conway. We don't take this as seriously as you guys do.
Yeah, I guess.
So,
but they do. That. I mean, from what we're hearing from them, with the statement that this guy made.
But I mean, in terms of the press conference.
Well, because it's usually how they regard the press and the American people. Because we're not important. No, we're just an afterthought.
Yeah, that's better said. Thank you.
Yeah.
So here's some good news.
Okay, I could use some.
It's always good to have good news, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because we never get any. From CBS.
Okay.
Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, who we all hate. Remember when he had financial martial law?
Yes.
Remember that?
I remember everything about him. And, you know, because Michigan had Rick Snyder while we had Rick Scott. Texas had Rick Perry. It was the scourge of the governor Ricks.
The bad Ricks. Really bad Ricks. Anyway,
Dicks.
His health director and other officials and him, they have all been told they're being charged after a new investigation of the Flint water scandal.
It's about fucking time.
I know. My God, better late than never.
I always say. Yep.
So, yeah, that was like the best thing ever.
Yeah, I don't know what it means, but the AP has learned that ex-Michigan Governor Snyder and others have been told they're being charged in Flint water scandal. Good. Throw the book at them. They poisoned that whole city and all those children. You can't get rid of lead poisoning. Once you have lead in your system, it's there.
It's there.
These
and it
children,
affects your intelligence.
Everything.
It affects the way you think.
Everything.
The way your thought, you know, you can't...
Yep.
Perform well in school or as well in school.
No.
So yeah, this was bad.
Yep. Horrible.
So he's getting the book thrown at him, I hope. Okay. So Daniel Goldman is commenting on something that I will share with you, but there's a little thread that I did.
Okay.
Daniel Goldman said, Dan Scavino should be impeachment witness number one. What exactly did he know about all the online chatter about storming the Capitol before January 6th? And what did he tell Trump about it? And the reason he asked that? Well, the Independent of the United Kingdom, he said they did an article saying White House insiders say Trump knew what was about to happen at the Capitol because of his social media guru, Dan Scavino, who, by the way, blocked me years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he knew, but this is evidence. Quote, Trump's deep diving social media operation would have made him aware that plans for his supporters to try to storm and occupy the U.S. Capitol were in the works long before he took the stage at last week's Save America rally. Much of those efforts to curate what was a steady stream of disinformation that experts say radicalized many of his followers was the work of one of the few remaining 2016 campaign veterans still in Trump's orbit, Dan Scavino. He drew content from hordes of extremely online Trump superfans, many of whom supplied a steady stream of content for him to pick and choose from. The ex-White House and campaign insider, who has known both Scavino and Trump for years, said that there was no way Scavino and Trump's social media operation would not have been aware of plans circulating online to storm the Capitol. That's because the operation closely monitored Webb's darkest corners. His knowledge of pro-Trump online communities would have informed the ghostwriting tasks he performed on Trump's Twitter account, including a tweet attacking Pence sent just as rioters were about to break Capitol police lines and enter the building chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." And finally, he is closer to Donald than his sons, and he has been more intimate, he has more intimate knowledge of Donald's thoughts, and he has the respect of the president.
Oh, God.
And that's what makes him dangerous.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know that anybody has the respect of the president. Just let's put that out there. Donald Trump doesn't respect anybody. It doesn't care about anybody. Has no empathy. Has no sympathy. He doesn't have an empathetic bone in his body. He's a selfish, narcissistic sociopath. I can't wait to be rid of him. I just cannot wait to be rid of this man. And just, you know, I as we come to the end of this 4 years, I'm number one, we all deserve a pat on the back for surviving it, those of us who did. And I think back 4 years ago and how devastated we were and were throughout the 4 years. And I think we deserve a little credit for surviving, because God knows it wasn't easy.
Absolutely right. I mean, as we say every week, we were abused for 4 years.
Yeah.
We're suffering from PTSD. And that's why when we hear normal people like Biden coming out and saying things that sound normal to us, we all go, "Oh my God, can you believe he said something normal? Oh my God, he sounds like a real president. Oh my God, he's not screaming in all caps online." Because we all have PTSD and are trying to recover from
it. You're right. That's exactly what it is. And I look at my kid and I feel so bad that she's now 21. So from the time she was 16, 17 to 21, this is what she knew as she was becoming, you know, when she was younger. And even though I've been talking politics all these years, she was a kid. She didn't pay attention. Well, now she's starting to pay attention, and this is what she's confronted with. This is
right.
And then on top of that, we get COVID, and she has to live behind a mask. I want to give her a different life.
I know this is her world, her universe, and since she's been cognizant of all this, it's just awful.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's something.
Okay.
From Kyle Griffin. He said that Politico has reported that Trump told Kelly Loeffler before he landed in Georgia for that final rally on Monday that if she didn't back the Electoral College challenges, he would, quote, do a number on her, unquote, from the stage, according to a source familiar.
Wow. Wow. So she gets up on that stage and she figuratively sucks his dick. She's like,
right.
I'm going to go tomorrow and I'm going to vote against the certification, you know, doing exactly what he wanted. And then what happened is pretty substantial, because I guess she was prepared to do that, even though she lost the election. She is standing there, and while this riot, the siege of the Capitol happens, she comes back in afterwards and says, you know what? I can't do this. And I'm not going to challenge the certification of these votes. We need to stop this madness, basically, is what she said. So listen to her and then
Lindsey Graham, who in a drunken stupor, apparently, on the Senate floor on Wednesday night, he's like, I'm out. I'm done. This is nuts. We can't do this anymore. I played along, but I'm done. I'm out. It's over. Today, he's on the fucking plane with Trump going to Alamo, Texas to do a photo op at his stupid wall.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, he said to Kelly, you know, I want you to do us a favor, though. And she said, okay. And then she said, no.
Yeah.
So it's just typical. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
Squilly.
Yeah.
Who I love.
Yeah.
He says, have House Republicans started a betting pool on how many of their Democratic colleagues will get COVID yet? Because three have gotten COVID. And one of them is one of my favorites. And that's
Pramila Jayapal. She's awesome. And I hate to say it, but oh, God, what's her name? The first one who got it, the 75-year-old
woman.
Hold on, I'll tell you in a moment. But she at first said she would. First of all, she's 75 years old. Second of all, Bonnie Watson Coleman of New Jersey.
Thank you.
She's 75 years old. She's a cancer survivor who had to go through a chemo treatment. At first, when she was first diagnosed, she said she was experiencing some slight symptoms. Well, now she's in the hospital.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She is now in the hospital.
Oh, that's so upsetting.
And then Pramila Jayapal got it. And then just today we learned that I think it's Brad Sherman got it.
What?
A third. Yes. Brad.
Well, oh, I didn't hear about him.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Oh,
damn it.
Boy.
It's not on my rundown here. Of Illinois. Is it Brad Sherman? I think it's Brad Sherman. Hold on. Well, I'll find it. But yeah, a third one. Third congressman COVID.
Liz Cheney just said she's going to vote to impeach.
Really? Good for her.
Yep.
Third. Hold on. Brad Schneider. Sorry, not Sherman.
Oh,
Sherman is.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Sherman.
Brad Schneider. Sorry, you can hear I got them confused. But yeah,
that's okay.
Brad Sherman of Illinois. I mean, Brad Schneider of Illinois. Don't mind me. My brain is fried. You know, I mean, we're all in the same boat. So,
We are.
Liz Cheney, not Cheney. Liz Cheney is going to vote to impeach the fucker. Good.
Yep.
Good for her.
That's what she says. Okay, moving along because I have a ton. Mark Joseph Stern from Slate. He says, first let me read what he's commenting on from Sam Levine at The Guardian. Sam Levine says, Minnesota Republican introduces bill to require voter ID for both in-person and mail-in voting, saying millions of American citizens believe there was widespread fraud during the last election, and the loss of faith in election justifies the measure. Okay, so Mark Joseph Stern says, we're seeing this in legislatures across the country. Republicans are demanding stringent new restrictions on the right to vote, not because they have proof of fraud, but because, quote, millions of American citizens believe it exists because Republicans falsely told them it does.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I hear you loud and clear.
I mean, we knew it was coming, but now they're doing it.
Yeah.
And that makes me so pissed. Oof. God, I don't know what I want to do. I'm tired.
I know.
I want to go to sleep. That's what I want to do.
Tell me about
okay.
It.
So Trump was out there opening his big fat yap, as you know.
Yeah.
And he did a spray, you know, and he said something like, for Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to continue on this path, I think it's causing tremendous danger to our country and it's causing tremendous anger. I want no violence. And Rabia Ochaudhury, an attorney, said, there's the setup.
Yep.
Future MAGA violence is Pelosi and Schumer's fault. He's trying to shove it off onto them. But you know what? He can't.
Yep. No, that's true. They're trying so hard to blame the Democrats. And it's all there on video. You can't miss it. And it's really sickening. By the way, did you hear? I mean, I'm not seeing it anywhere on mainstream media, but a lot of the tech media is covering this today. When it became apparent that Parler was going to be taken offline, that Amazon was going to stop hosting them and the app was going to go dead.
Yeah.
Some very creative hackers decided, and it was a woman named Donk_NB,
yes,
DONK_NB, decided that she was going to download all of the data from Parler, yep. and she did with a couple of other people. They spent like all night downloading it, and they got something like almost
99%.
56.7 terabytes of data from Parler that they're saying that they're going to turn over to authorities, that they can use that to piece together right. all the information on who was organizing this coup attempt. And
it wasn't Antifa, that's for sure.
Oh, no. Well, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay, so Dave Weigel talks, he's talking about, okay, John Harwood said, from Reuters, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo canceled his Europe trip at the last minute on Tuesday yeah. after Luxembourg's foreign minister and top European officials declined to meet him, European diplomats and other people said. And so Dave Weigel has a two-parter. He says, getting stiffed by Luxembourg when you consider how highly Pompeo regards himself is just devastating. And then he says, it is June 2023. We are in a half-full Pizza Ranch in Ottumwa, and Mike Pompeo is telling his audience how he stood up to Luxembourg.
Right, right. Oh, my God.
And is when he runs for president. Oh, my God. What a loser. Okay, well, here's something that amused me, so I had to comment on it. Mm-hmm. Here's what Hogan Gidley said.
Okay.
Hogan Gidley.
He's one of the few press people still there, doing Trump's bidding. Gidley. Yes, yes.
Right. He said, Trump, ready?
Yes.
Is the most masculine person to ever hold the White House as the President of the United States.
Wait,
and I said, LOL at Gidley, who thinks a misshapen blob with bad hair and orange makeup, cheats at golf, hides behind White House walls, cowers in his bathroom because he can't tweet on his gold toity, and assaults women, is the most masculine person to ever hold the White House as the President.
It's a laugh track. In case
Thank you.
There you
I'm
go.
Here all night.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's
Bullshit.
Dave Wasserman.
Bullshit.
Oops. I thought I was hitting the rim shot. I have the rim shot here.
Oh. Here we go.
Okay,
good.
There we go.
I'm always happy to hear that. Dave Wasserman of Redistrict. He said, he calls himself at Redistrict. I'm sorry. He said, true
He's
story. The day before
report,
the election.
But, yeah.
Kevin McCarthy, House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, told me that if Trump refused to concede, he and McConnell would eventually have to come out and issue a joint statement acknowledging the result. In the end, McCarthy left McConnell twisting in the wind. So John Harwood said, Kevin McCarthy is the guy who bragged on TV that GOP's Benghazi probes had hurt Clinton's poll numbers,
yep.
joked, quote, in private that Putin was paying Trump, and left McConnell holding that bag on resisting the insurrection grievance. His title in House GOP caucus is leader. Bang! Do-do-dum. I love that. Yeah. I want one. Okay.
I'll send one to you. There you go.
I can't. I'll have what she's having.
She's getting orgasmic.
Well,
Now we know what excites Laffy.
Yeah, we know now what gets me off. All right, so Julia Ioffe said,
yes.
Look, I'm from the former Soviet Union. One of the reasons Putin, an alumnus of the KGB, the agency that committed some of the worst atrocities of the 20th century, one of the reasons Putin came to power in 2000 and stayed is that people wanted unity rather than accountability. Chew on that.
Chew on that? Okay.
Chew on that.
All right.
Factoid.
Okay.
So because the Republicans are calling for unity.
Yeah.
So basically...
Yeah. They don't want unity. They don't want unity. They want control.
Well, that's what she's saying, yeah. that some of the worst atrocities, they came to power. One of the reasons Putin came to power and stayed is because people wanted unity rather than accountability.
All
that's
right.
what she's saying. Well, exactly what you're saying, only yeah. in slightly different words.
I guess.
All right. In very different words. Cheney, mm-hmm. everyone's talking about it now. Cheney is first member of House GOP leadership to announce support for Trump impeachment.
No, she's not, because there's a freshman whose name escapes me, who I saw on TV
leadership,
last night.
In leadership.
Oh, leadership. Yes, definitely yeah. leadership. Sorry.
Yeah. It's just breaking all over the place now. It took a while since I tweeted it out. Empty wheel. Imagine if after 9/11,
yeah,
Fox News called for unifying with the terrorists over and over on repeat.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
That's a really good analogy.
Yes. Can you imagine? Oh, God.
Yep. I know.
All right. Let's see. Here's a little thread on Pompeo.
Okay.
From Trita Parsi.
Yes. Who now heads the Quincy Institute.
Thank you. You got it.
No problem.
Pompeo is using his last days in office to hold press conferences to undermine any chance of peace and diplomacy between the U.S. and Iran. Just as he and Trump have fueled conflict with the U.S., he's also seeking to fuel conflict between the U.S. and Iran on his way out. False claims on the Iran-Al-Qaeda ties have been peddled by the Trump administration before. Trump gave classified documents to FDD, the main lobby for war with Iran and D.C., purportedly connecting Iran and Al-Qaeda. But despite the fanfare, the documents prove no such thing. Now Pompeo is recycling the old falsehoods, adding some new ones and misinterpretations, and spinning it as news, such as bizarre claims that Iran is now the home base of Al-Qaeda in the Middle East. Ask yourself, if such a conclusive evidence of an Iran-Al-Qaeda alliance really existed, why would he wait to the last week in office to reveal it?
Yeah.
Mindful of Pompeo's four-year effort to crush Iran, he would have revealed this at the outset to justify maximum pressure. He didn't, finally. A more plausible explanation is that Pompeo is changing facts to fit with his obsession with the conflict with Iran. As the chances of conflict are slipping out of his hands courtesy of Trump's failed coup, Pompeo shifts his focus to prevent Biden from undoing Pompeo's mess.
Uh-huh. Interesting. That is interesting. Yeah. Hey, Laffy, I've got some updates here.
Okay.
From Jonathan Martin at the New York Times.
Yep.
Biden called McConnell yesterday, we heard about this, and asked if the Senate could dual-track impeachment trial and cabinet confirmations.
Right.
Far from telling Biden he would not discuss the impeachment, McConnell said he would check with the parliamentarian and get back to Biden.
Exactly.
That's interesting. And then Caitlin Collins, who has just been promoted, by the way, at CNN to chief White House correspondent, in case you're wondering, said, backed up what you just said. New York Times reports McConnell has told associates that he believes Trump committed impeachable offenses and that he is pleased that the Democrats are moving to impeach him, believing that it will make it easier to purge him from the party. And then, in light of New York Times reporting, worth noting that Trump and McConnell have not spoken since the attack on the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, too. And then she has the Liz Cheney, story.
Cheney, I know, I should do that.
Quoting Liz Cheney, the president of the United States summoned this mob, assembled the mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of this would have happened without the president. I will vote to impeach the president.
Ding, ding, ding.
And then she went on and said, there has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. Wow. That's going pretty far. I mean, it's one thing to say you'll vote to impeach, but she's going.
She's going for it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Hakeem Jeffries tweeted this out about an hour ago, but it just came up. Donald Trump Jr. is now under criminal investigation in the District of Columbia. Keep the pressure on every single
Hell
person
yeah.
who incited the violent attack.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for Trump to get up there and Alamo, Texas, and say, I read the speech I delivered, and it was like the perfect phone call. It was perfect. It was just perfect. It was not. He incited these people to riot. He told them to go to the Capitol and fight to take this country back. What did he expect them to do? There were thousands of people there. He told them to go to the Capitol and fight. What I really would like to know, I would love to ask him, what did you expect them to do when they got there?
Oh, he'll give up. He would give some
what?
Stupid.
What? You told them to go there and fight. What
I
did you expect
like
them to do?
But he'd come up. Here's something. Amy Siskind just mm-hmm. did. This is from 2:15
okay.
p.m. my time. So
yeah. just a little while
about
ago.
45 minutes
yeah.
ago. Manchin is looking pretty ridiculous now. He was on Fox to speak against impeachment, and now McConnell comes out for it.
Yeah. Joe Manchin, get with the party here.
Yeah. And, yeah. I just tweeted it because she tagged him, and I want him to see it.
Yep.
Oh, man. What a mess.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, again, I pulled up my little pocket constitution today to check out Amendment 14, Section 3, that says no person shall hold any office who shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. And then John Nichols tweeted, Trump's declaration of love for the seditious mob at the Capitol was aid and comfort. Done.
Ding.
Hello. Ding.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So
big ding.
Yeah. Anyway. 1 week. 7 days. What
week.
Is it? Wait, hold on. Let me pull it up. 7 days, 18 hours, 9 minutes, 35 seconds. Can't come soon enough.
Cannot wait.
All right. Gotta laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh. And here every Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we'll be talking about tomorrow. All right. So go. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye. And everyone else, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Hang tough. Bye.